And I appreciate you all being here. We are in an exciting time in the life of our church. As you may have noticed, we've had, over the course of this school year, some new folks suddenly appear in our midst, and that's a wonderful thing, and we celebrate that. And so thank you for those of you who have been around for, 13 years or so, and thank you to those of you who have made a newer connection with Hope Community Church. One of the common questions that I get from people who are newer to our church family is, well, how do I become a member? Or even, is there membership here at Hope Community Church? And so I want to speak about that a little bit and answer that question. The simple answer is yes, there is such a thing as being a member of Hope Community Church. It is a very real thing, but it's also a fairly informal and fluid thing. So let me answer this question in the simplest way that I can, and then we'll expound on this answer, okay? Here's your answer. How do you become a member of Hope Community Church? Well, you become a member of this church when you decide that you are a member of this church, okay? Is that simple enough? There's no class to take. There's no form to fill out. I don't give you a certificate, so if you're somebody that likes certificates, maybe you could print one up on your own. I'd be fine with that. That's fine. But it's a very informal process, and what that means is you've spent enough time with us as a collective. You've gotten a sense of who we are and what we're about. You've learned about Jesus. You've embraced the gospel, and you decide that you want to be a part of this. You choose. You decide if you want to be a part of this. Another way of thinking about membership is, you know, you no longer talk about this church as a they and a them, but a we and an us. This is what we do at Hope Community Church. No, not what they do. No, this is what we do. And so you become a member when you are ready to become a member of Hope Community Church. There are three ways to think about what membership feels like, what it means to belong to a church. Let me rattle them in the past, or maybe currently, right, on a sports team. You know what that's like to be a part of a team. You have your specific role to play on that team, but that team is all working together for a common goal, towards a common goal. You want to win something, right? And so being a part of a church, a local church, is like being a part of a team. We're all working together towards a common goal. Now, if you're on a football team, you're trying to win that game. If you're a team of actors doing a play, you all want to do your very best job and perform to the best of your ability. You're all working towards that common goal. The goal that we're working toward here as a church is gospel saturation. We want everybody in Delaware County, starting with a little bullseye on the map, everybody to know Jesus as their Savior. And so we're working together towards that goal. Now, when you're on a team, there is an expectation of participation. How about that? That rhymes, doesn't it? When you're on a team, there's an expectation of participation. You got to show up at the practices. You got to show up at the games. And if you don't, guess what happens? You know what happens. You get cut from the team, right? Well, church doesn't quite work that way, right? Ain't nobody around here going to cut you from church, yes? But like being a part of a team, there is an expectation of participation. Yep. If you're going to be a part of this, you have to physically show up and be a part of what we're doing here. There is an expectation of participation. So you can think of being a part of a church as being on a team. Here's another way to think about it. As being a part of a family, right? When you're a part of a church, you're a part of a family. In fact, we talk about that. Hey, welcome to our church family. A good family, right? A loving family. A supportive family. Now, let's all take a moment to dwell on all of the wonderful aspects of family life, because there are many wonderful aspects of family life. You don't believe me? No, there really are, right? You've got people who love you, you know, again, in that ideal, loving situation, people who love you in that family, people who support you, people who will comfort you when you are struggling, people who are older than you, more mature than you, that will lend you wisdom and give you opportunities to be led, right? There are people in your family who are younger than you that you can serve and you can share your wisdom with them. And you're not alone. When you're a part of a family, you're not alone. Isn't being a part of a family wonderful? I'm told, however, there are some times that family members can annoy each other or offend one another or be in conflict with one another. Does that happen in your family? Never happens in my family. Maybe it happens to you. Yeah, right? Yeah, this happens when human beings are in proximity with one another, right, even if we love one another, there can be words that are spoken that should not have been spoken, yeah? There could be things we do to offend one another or annoy one another. But when those things happen and you're a part of a family, you know that at the core, the love is still there. And so you talk and you have those conversations and you work it out because you know at the end of the day, you love one another and you are in this life together. That's how family works. And so it's very useful to think of church as a family. We are in this together. It's not always easy. There's going to be times where we might annoy one another, but at the end of the day, we've got each other's backs, and we are advocates for one another, church as a family. Here's my favorite way to think about church, church as community. Hey, that's in our name, Hope Community Church, because community blends these ideas of team and family into one, being a part of a community. And that word community stresses the fact that we are not meant to figure out Christianity on our own, in isolation. We do this together as a community or a family or a team. We are in this together. How many passages in the New Testament speak to this reality? We are in this together. We serve with one another. Even though it's difficult, we're in this together. We support one another. We serve together. We receive together. We grow together. We transform together as a part of a community. That's how church, from what I understand from the New Testament, that's how church is supposed to function. Yes, we have the word community in our name, Hope Community Church, but I believe every single local church should take that community approach to church. However, not all local churches do take the community approach to church. You know the type of thing I'm talking about? There are churches where they have a Sunday morning event, a Sunday morning worship service, and you can show up to that service anonymously, and you can hear some songs, and you can sing some songs, and listen to somebody talk, and then you can leave anonymously without getting to know anybody or getting to anybody else's business, right? There are churches set up like that. I don't think that's how it's supposed to be, right? Church is supposed to be a community. We're supposed to be in each other's lives. And let me tell you, especially for those of you who are newer and actually thinking about becoming a member here, let me just tell you, being a part of a community is difficult. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's difficult to be a part of a community. You're there to support one another. You grieve with one another. You encourage one another. You put up with one another. You get into the mess of each other's lives. Who wants that? I mean, maybe some people do, right? But I tend to shy away from, well, I don't want to get messy. I just want to be by myself. You know, I'm an introvert over here. Leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. Well, guess what? No, we were meant to do this in community. It's not easy. It is difficult. But there is no other way to be a church. Not if we're going to be a New Testament church. We have to do this together. You know, there's so many Christian people, people that would identify themselves as being saved, that take an isolation approach to being a Christian. I'm going to isolate. I'm going to be an isolationist, yes? There's some extreme forms of isolation, and there are less extreme forms of isolation, but isolationism does not work. You know, there are people who believe in Jesus as their Savior. They just say, you know what, I'm not going to be a part of any church whatsoever. I'm just going to be on my own, and I've got the internet, and I've got podcasts, and I can listen to teachings, and I've got books that I can read, and when it's time to serve, I can serve when I want to serve, how I want to serve, and when it's time for me to be corrected, well, guess what, I don't have to be. And it's time for me to be held accountable, well, guess what, I don't have to be if I'm doing this on my own. I'll just listen to the teachings that I want to listen to, and serve how I want to serve, and live how I want to live. Isolationism, yeah? It's tempting. It's tempting, but it doesn't work. I've tried it. It does not work. The isolationist approach to Christianity, to Jesus, what happens is you just drift further and further. If you're not supported, if no one's holding you accountable, if no one's leading or guiding, it doesn't work. Or think about serving. I mean, what can you do for Jesus in isolation? Now, okay, well, I could do some things on my own, and I could raise some money, or I go serve here. Yeah, you could do a lot more with a whole team or family or community of other people helping you. You know, I mentioned the Kenya mission trip a little bit ago. I think about all the years that we've sent missionaries over to Kenya. I think about all the water filters that have been given out. I think about the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives that have been saved. I think about the thousands upon thousands, over 10,000, tens of thousands of dollars given to help people who are in need. Could you do that on your own? Maybe some of you could. I couldn't. Most of us can't. We're better together. And so isolationism is tempting, and there's that extreme form of isolation. Well, I'm just going to do this on my own and listen to teachings on my own. It doesn't work. But there are other forms of isolation. I mentioned earlier about that, you know, approach to church where I walk in anonymously and I leave anonymously. I show up, I hear something I want to hear, I listen to some songs, I sing some songs, and then I leave anonymously. No, that does not work. It's not sustainable. Who do you turn to when you need help? Who do you turn to? And it does not work. There's another form of isolationism, and this is a fun one. It's the Christian person who will only be a part of a church. I'll be a member as long as all the people there are like me, right? I need to be with like-minded people who have similar backgrounds to me, who have a similar place in their spiritual maturity that I have, who vote the same way that I vote, who make the same kind of money that I make. If I can be with some like-minded people, then sure, I'll be a part of a church like that. Guess what? That church doesn't even exist, right? We all have different backgrounds. You can find people that are similar to you, but there's going to be some diversity, so you might as well embrace the diversity. If you're with a collective of people who are all on the same exact page and same level of maturity, then who is leading you, and who are you leading? It does not work. Make no mistake. The community approach to church is difficult, but what's the alternative? The alternative is worse. Let's take a look at this passage that's in your bulletin. This is one of the many occasions where Paul speaks to the reality of church life. And he's writing this letter to the group of believers, the Christians in Ephesus. And in chapter 2, he's just explained, if you read this for yourself, he's just explained what Christ has done for us, the sacrifice that he's made, the new life that he's given to us. And so he's speaking to a group of people who have already received Christ as their Savior. And basically he's saying, now that you've done this, here's what happens next. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Now that you're in Jesus Christ, now that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are not anonymous. You're not a stranger. You're not a foreigner. You're a part of something bigger than yourself. We're no longer foreigners, no longer strangers, but fellow citizens. Thinking of church as a nation or a country. Here we are. We're fellow citizens. We're no longer aliens or foreigners. No, we're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Hey, we're part of God's family. This is God's household, and He's our dad. How about that? Members of God's household, God's family. And this family, this nation, this group of people, this community has been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, the prophets were the ones in the Old Testament who told people about the coming of Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah. And then the apostles were the ones that Jesus sent out to tell other people, hey, I'm here, I've arrived, I've died on the cross for your sins. So the apostles were sent out to spread the message of the gospel. And so the church has been built on the prophets and on the apostles with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Jesus holds this whole thing together. Jesus is who we all have in common. That's the commonality. That's the common bond. Jesus Christ, built together, different backgrounds, Different ideas, different attitudes, different interests, but what do we have in common? It's Jesus. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. In Him, the whole building. Can we pause here for a moment? What are you doing, Paul? You're talking about church as a nation where we're citizens, as a family, we're all members of a household. Now he's talking about it as a building, right? These are all different ways Paul is trying to communicate the same idea. It's so important. In Him, the whole building, all of us, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you too are being built together. Here's a key word for you. Being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. We are being built together as a body, as a family, as a team, as a community. And this imagery that we're given is the idea of Christ assembling His people. He is the unifying factor. We're joined together by the gospel, and He builds this building, and then it's raised up and becomes a holy temple for the Lord Himself. How about that? How are you going to do that? On your own? No. Christ is building us together as His household, as His family, as His community. If you're a member of a church, there is an expectation of participation. You don't just come to consume or take up space in a seat or a pew somewhere. No, there's an expectation of participation. We do this together. That's how this works. And so I want to give you three words to think about before you leave here today of what it means for you as an individual to be a member of a church. Three things that you need to focus on if you are going to become a member of this church. Three things. First word I want to give to you is receive. If you're going to be a member of this church or any other church, you need to put yourself in a position where you can receive, where you can receive teaching, where you can receive instruction, where you can receive guidance, where you can receive support, where you can receive comfort, where you can receive, here's our favorite, ready? Accountability. You need to put yourself in a position where you can receive. What are you doing here this morning? You are giving something to God. You're giving Him worship, but hopefully you're also receiving something from the Lord, right? No matter who stands up here on a Sunday morning, we've prepared something that we are going to then give to you to receive. And if you don't show up to receive it, well, then you're not going to receive it. That's how that works. All throughout the school year, I've been so grateful and so pleased by the amount of small groups that we've been able to offer and Bible studies. And this apologetics group, I'm just so excited about what's happening in our small groups. But you have to put yourself in a place where you can receive this teachings, receive this instruction, receive from someone else. And so if you're going to be a part of a church, you need to put yourself in a place where you will receive. Now, I thought this was just me, but I've talked to some other pastors about this. It turns out there's this funny complaint that sometimes pastors get. Well, I'm not receiving enough. I just feel like I'm not getting enough out of this. It's like, well, you got to show up if you're going to receive. Are you going to Bible study? No. Is worship a priority? No. Well, then you're not receiving. What are we supposed to do? As a church, all get in a van and show up to your house and say, okay, here you go, here you go, here you go. If you want to receive, you need to put yourself in a place where you can receive. Does this make sense? Right? Yeah, this is just logical. Put yourself in a place where you can receive. Receive. Next word. Give. Have to put yourself in a place where you will also be able to give. You're not just there to receive and consume, but you also need to give. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Give of your, here's your favorite one, money. Yes, that as well. Your hard-earned money is something you give as well if you're a part of this collective, part of a local church. Did you notice that announcement in the back of your bulletin, that little blurb there, the budget update? We are so grateful to you because in just a few short weeks, we have seen a massive reduction in the amount of deficit that we have. A massive reduction. Do you see that year-to-date budget update? As of the end of March, we were in a deficit, a weekly deficit of $427.55. That was the end of March. Look how much that gap has closed in the past few weeks here. That deficit is now down to $200. Well, $200.62 to be exact. How about that? Praise God for you. Why has that number shrunken? Well, because of you and giving, yes? That's what we are compelled to do. We're part of this together, which means collectively, we pick up the tab together, right? Anybody ever wait tables? Isn't that frustrating? Where it's like, oh, we're all going to split in. Can you divide the check 15 different ways for this group? Goodness gracious. Yeah, but that's what we do as a church. We pick up the check together. And thank you. I mean, praise God for you. We're moving in the right direction here. And so if we're going to be a member of the church, we need to receive, we need to give, and we need to serve. We need to serve together. You guys all saw it already. You had that insert in your bulletin. Do you have one of these in your bulletin, right? Well, this is what this is for. We are in a season in our church right now, and I'm going to apologize in advance if this is too secular of a way to phrase this, but in this season of our church right now, we are desiring to strengthen our infrastructure. We need more leaders. We need more volunteers. We need people who are ready to get up out of the pew and do something and participate. And so what we've done here is we've listed a few ways for you to participate in the life of our church, a few ways for you to serve. We're looking for people to run our soundboard, you know, no more than once a month, and you will be trained on how to do that. We're looking for people who are willing to run the PowerPoint and the live stream. You know, this is our last live stream service until we're able to beef up that volunteer support. We need that. No more than once a month, again, training will be provided. We're looking for nursery caregivers, aren't we? Yes? There's a lot of babies. Thank you, God, for blessing us with so many little babies coming into this place. Well, guess what? Somebody's got to take care of these little babies. Maybe it's you. Again, no more than once a month. If you'd like to serve with the nursery, we do require all your child clearances to be submitted so we can help you get those forms in place. But we're looking for people to help. Like today, we could use help in our nursery. We're looking for help with children's church, with teachers and assistants. Again, all those child clearances are required. But if you're willing to teach our children, that's another area where we've been greatly blessed recently. We've had more kids show up than we've ever had before. We need more people there to help them, to guide them. And so if you'd be willing to do that, no more than once a month, let me know. Yes? We're looking for people who will work at Hope Cafe. Hey, do you like making snacks, right? Well, maybe you and your spouse, or maybe it's a family effort, get together and you're going to serve no more than one Sunday a month. Or maybe it's a few of you together, a few families together, and say, you know what, we can take this on together. We're going to serve at Hope Cafe. We're going to set up the snacks. We're going to prepare a bounty for people. I've even been told you don't have to make the snacks in advance. You can just buy them. How about that? Isn't that true? All right. Does that give you some freedom there? Yeah. So we're looking for people to do these things, to serve as a greeter, to welcome people, to give them a bulletin when they come in, to serve as a scripture reader, or a post-worship prayer partner. Bob and Lois are down here almost every single Sunday willing to pray for those who are in need. And there are plenty of Sundays where no one comes up. Okay, so be it. But we want to have people here so that when there is a need, we've got people here to pray for you. We're also looking for people to serve on our property committee. You know, I mentioned earlier how, you know, we're moving in the right direction with our budget, and here's what we've talked about a lot on that property committee is we're going to do what we can do in-house. We're going to fix what we can fix with the limited funds that we have. But if we want to see a big renovation of this place, first step is to see our budget move into the black consistently every single month so we can afford to take on these bigger projects, yes? But if you'd like to be a part of that property committee, we'd love to have you serve there. If you can use a paintbrush or if you're good with, you know, spackling or fixing cracks. By the way, we're working on a project here. You know, if all goes according to God's plan, this repairs will begin next month. So let's be praying about that. Wouldn't that be great to come in and say, hey, the ceiling's not collapsing. Isn't that awesome, right? It's a new feature of our church. Now with a non-collapsing ceiling. How about that, yeah? But we need people to make these things happen. You know, the church, it's not like the YMCA, right? You don't just show up and drop off your kids and go on your merry way. No, we need a collective here. We do this together as a team, as a family, as a community. So if you're somebody in this church who is already super involved and you're already serving, what I'm going to ask you to do is take this card and leave it on your pew, okay? Don't fill it out. Don't worry about it. But if you're somebody who's newer and really isn't serving yet, and if there's an opportunity here that aligns with your gifting, something that you feel God is calling you to do, what I'd ask you to do is to fill out that card, circle where you'd like to serve, and then put it in this very fancy-looking box that I got from Michaels, okay? How about that? So this is what I want you to do. Fill that out, circle some items, put it in that box, and then we'll be in touch with you, and then we can help you get connected into this church family. I understand the temptation. I understand the temptation to isolate or to show up in a space and to be anonymous. I get that. I understand that it's difficult to serve or get tangled up in somebody else's messy situation. I understand that. But what are our other options? We were designed to live out our faith together. There's no other way to do this. We were designed by God to do this together in this room and those watching online and listening online. We are a collective that has different skills and different talents and different gifting so that we can do this thing called church together. We are His people together. And so for those of you who are newer to our church, we want to say this. Welcome to your church family. To those of you who have been around for a long time, we want to remind you of this. You belong here. Hope Community Church, we are a family. We are a team. We are a community where you belong. Let's stand together so I can pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are who we have in common. You have died for all of us. You have sacrificed yourself for all of us. You have extended to all of us the gift of eternal life, and we have received it. Father God, continue to build this, your church, your community of people. Father God, allow our effectiveness to increase in this community. Let us continue to share your truth with our neighbors. Let us continue to share your love and your gospel with those who have not yet received you as their Savior. And Father God, remind us that we are not alone. In our journey with you, we are not alone. We journey with you together. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to worship you. And now this worship service is coming to its close. We pray that you would allow our worship of you to continue. Father, let us worship you with our lives. Let us worship you by the way we love and serve one another, the way we love and serve you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.